You're now listening to Hooray for Everything.
A special innovative episode.
We're back for another episode of Hooray for Everything.
I'm not sober tonight.
The Festiff special.
I was drinking at a TIFF event that, thanks to the powers of the universe, I managed to wrangle my way into. It was open bar.
Should I be offended there wasn't a plus one there?
I was someone else's plus one. I am never going to be the one that has a plus.
When will I be someone's plus one?
We got in there, and the woman I was with, who manages like events and sponsorships where I work, said, "What is that smell?" Because the post-event thing was at Buonanotte, was like, the appetizers there are oysters and like risotto balls. Like, it's not mini burgers or anything.
No,
so anyway, but when we first got in, she was all, "What is that fabulous smell?" And I was like, "Rich people, that's what they smell like." Yeah,
they're not like you and me.
No,
they even smell better.
They do smell better. No, we talked to one of the programmers, Rashmi Salty, and she was wearing this beautiful dress. The print, I think, was from Senegal or something, she said, and she got it tailored and like made into a dress. Like,
yeah, of course she did.
All in, maybe $40. I think she said the cloth itself was 20, and I was just, the whole time, I was just thinking, you're fabulous. And she has this sort of Superman curly forelock of hair happening as she's talking with her, like, hot librarian look with the glasses. As she walked away, the woman I was with just said, she smelled amazing. I was like, I told you. That's how people smell at patron circle level events.
It's up for...
No, it was rarefied air. And I took a deep breath and realized I'll never go back.
Well, on a what is it? Midweek event for patrons, like, you don't get your regular riff-raff if you do a Thursday night or a Friday night.
Yeah, there was neither riff nor raff at this. That's good.
Where was it? It was at
the Box of Light. The first part, the sort of speaking and each programmer presenting like two of their top picks from the 289 features, 100 plus other things, like hundreds of films to choose from, basically, if you include short films and the sessions, the special presentations. I think it's upwards of, like, you know, either just under 400 or upwards of 400, like, things that you could get a ticket for. Each programmer just picked two things, like their Brightest Spark and Hidden Flame of This Is Stuff That I Like.
Very cool.
Yeah.
Very, very cool. Is this the first time you've been to an event like this?
I've gone to other member events where a subset of the programmers will talk about things they like that's coming up in the season, like the winter preview, the spring preview, where they talk about a retrospective or whatever. But it's the first time I've been at this one for the festival that the second half of it is a cocktail reception that the programmers have to go to / you know, we'll be there and you get a chance to talk to them.
Yeah.
So that was...
So you finally got to stalk and meet every programmer.
And it was weird because a lot of them, I didn't even lock eyes, like see across from the room. And I realized some of them just go make an appearance and then bounce out. Because this is the beginning of their busy season. This is like hanging out with a supply chain manager in retail e-commerce the Tuesday before Black Friday, Cyber Monday.
Oh, okay.
So they're just going to bounce in, shake a few super rich hands, and then peace out. Like, they've got work to do, and I am mad at them. So you saw, like, some of them stay, but these are clearly, like, your job is to stay tonight to make it look like programmers stay at this thing. But, you know, a lot of people just sort of bounced in and out or were instantly cornered by high-level donors or patrons or whatever. So now, as somebody who's always looked up at this next level, or sort of, I guess, you know, 2-3 levels up from the amount of money I donate, thinking, oh, maybe one day. And now I'm like, I don't know, like, if this is like what the events are like. And it was okay. The food was aight, but, you know, it was open bar and there's like appetizer things rolling around.
Yeah.
But it's a tight room.
Yeah.
It's hard to get at those risotto balls. You got to be scratching.
Yeah, that's not fun.
You got to be straight out of Scarlet.
You want it to be like lavish, like, oh, please, no more.
The wine pours. It's like, it's free wine. Why are you giving me like two fingers full, like it's bourbon or something?
Yeah,
like, keep it coming.
That's unacceptable. Yeah. That's a little unacceptable. Just fill it to the rim. You know, give me a straw.
I enjoyed the novelty of it. Do I feel like I need to save up and forego designer shoes for, you know, 3 years so I can get up to this patron level based on the experience tonight? Absolutely not.
No. Oh.
So between that and the fact that the member line for the pickup for the program book was, no joke, 10 times as long as the non-member line, because they've been pumping memberships so hard for the last 3 years.
Yeah.
Now, the member lineup, which used to be the inverse. You would be in like the regular unwashed masses lineup that's, you know, 10, 15 times as long, and watching the member line of like maybe 10 or 15 people just gliding up, getting their program books and walking out and thinking, one day that'll be me. And then this year, I don't know if math was a problem. I don't know if they couldn't do what every bank or whatever does, which is when there's like people in line for business banking and regular people, you just let more and more windows serve the business bank people. But they just didn't have enough people for members. So it was almost telling the people at that membership level that don't pay as much as I do, but just pay enough that they can at least use the member lineup. Why am I giving you my $99 to at least use this lineup during the festival?
To make it a quick interaction.
Yeah.
But it's not.
Yeah.
Now it's complicated.
Yeah. So that was a fail today. Yeah. On the flip side, the bag this year,
the tote,
you know, it was full of the usual things. Always a Pizza Nova coupon.
Pizza Nova in there.
In there every year.
Pizza Nova.
There's always random restaurant coupons I never look at.
That's not a good branding. When I think movie pizza, I think, of course, Pizza Pizza, but that's not at the caliber of a TIFF event. You don't want to go to an event and they're like, bust out the square pepperoni pizza party.
I will say, every year I almost forget Pizza Nova exists as an entity until the film festival. I'm like, oh, you know what?
Never.
I actually like Pizza Nova. They're not bad.
No, they're actually quite good, but never in your...
A good cheese to sauce ratio, too. I never have to order extra cheese with Pizza Nova. They understand pizza should be a cheese-based interaction.
I'll tell you what it should be. It shouldn't be Pizza Nova. It shouldn't be Pizza Pizza. It should be Pizza Aioli.
You know, I feel like
I enjoy their pizza.
The quality is all over the place, though. Maybe the one near you is great.
It's really
the one
nice.
Near me is just tight.
Okay. But they make a good pizza when you get it. But that's every place. Like, if you hit it and they like working there... And, you know, they're not slave labor. I don't know, whatever they didn't. They're having a good day. You get great pizza. But like, even from Pizza Pizza, you can get a semi-decent pizza from there. But I don't see the correlate. Pizza Nova, I just see the logo of the Tower of Pisa, like slanted. And like the retro logo is like burned in my brain. So
absolutely. No, it's
hard for me to get over that's a part.
As a creative, I feel like the iconography and the branding is what sticks with you. What sticks with
me? They redid it. Completely redid it. Like, they made it more now of a classical, like, Sicilian, heavy with like text and scripting style, like upped it for a modern time. But I feel they should have kept the old style. No, anyway. But
people update their branding all the time. It happens.
Of course. They got to keep up with the times. Was Cameron there? Was he working the room?
I didn't actually see him at the post event. Maybe he was there briefly. I didn't even see him. He was at the presentation part of it. He was the main moderator for the evening.
Okay.
Looking fabulous as always. But yes. I didn't see him.
Shouldn't
he
be out and about, like shaking the hands and like being like, thank you for your patronage? Like doing the. It is an election year.
Listen, Cameron's got to do Cameron, right?
No,
yeah, he's like.
I just find him.
He's the ultimate Riker, though, because Piers won't retire. It was many years ago when the Lightbox was being built. It was almost set up like a classic, you know, battle for top spot. So there was Noah and there was Cameron, and they both were put in sort of like number one positions. Like, Noah had the title of whatever. Director of the Lightbox stuff.
Okay.
And then Cameron had the co-director, artistic director, whatever random title.
Okay.
That meant basically they were both number two, but in different ways. And then it seemed like almost a Jay Leno thing kind of happened. And Pierce was like, nah, I can still do this.
That's why I didn't know that.
So Noah left and went to, you know, work in America somewhere for one of their festivals. And so Cameron's hung out as the wrecker of the film festival.
Oh, no way. I did not know.
As an outsider, pure supposition, maybe everyone's happy with everyone's choices.
Sure.
It just seemed like the natural ascendancy of the next director. The fact that they've had sort of like this weird co-director / director, COO, artistic director title like thing, like that they're like one and two for the past however many years. Like, this seems like a one person gig.
I guess. The one thing I know about Cameron is that he was always doing reviews in Now magazine, like back in the day. Which I thought was cool. Then he was like, when all the first cable TV channels rolled out, and he was on Showcase, like talking about cinema films, like in a poorly lit studio. And I was like, that's cool. And then when I heard he was like programming, I don't know what his title is or whatever. I'm just like, oh, that's awesome. That's like, and being a brother man, Like, I just thought, I know nothing about him except that I just saw this, like, career and trajectory. And beautiful. Like,
and I was even talking to one of the other programmers tonight about everybody else by the end of the week at the festival looks busted. Like, toe up from the flow up. Cameron still looks like he bathes in the blood of, like, virgin script writers by the end of the week. Like, just, he might go open collar without the blazer at the odd intro. Like, and that's it. That's as far as he'll, like, acknowledge the fact that he may be slightly peaked.
Even thinking about his role, like, makes me exhausted. Like, it's just, like, every, I feel that every problem would come to him. Like, I don't think that he would ask for it, but it's just, like, oh, the lineup, da-da-da. People are tweeting that the lineup is too long at whatever. And, like, you know, it gets to him, like, and then, but you got to go on stage and introduce this, like, gala now and, like, you know, all these things on his head.
Yeah. Jason Reitman stuck in traffic. Yeah. You got to vamp.
Yeah. And it's like, I also feel like him being the brother man, it's like people are waiting for him to screw up or crack under the pressure or something like that. I sense that. I don't know if that's
true.
But
I also feel like, because this weird co-director situation's gone on for so long, now part of me is almost worried / curious if, like, a Jimmy Fallon is going to rise up in between, where he had, like, the Conan Jay thing for so long.
Someone else, yeah. Someone's always
waiting. And then all of a sudden,
wings,
like,
right?
Someone's just going to come in and be like, I'm here, my videos are all viral, and I'm adorable, and I can sing, and I like black people.
And I'm privileged.
Yeah.
Yeah, that might happen.
But he gave the Roots a great day gig that allows them to make some real bank. I saw Questlove on an episode of Say Yes to the Dress buying a wedding dress for his sister.
That's weird.
It is.
Maybe we'll take a break right there and come back. Play some Roots.
Not for nothing. If you bout some city, you got to love it. Not what I'm in. I'm still handling. Still into it like Grand Man and him. Damn it, Jim MC. My name Reed G. And Dangerous DC. How I going about to earn the fees? Paper chase motivated. Ain't the one to play with. Take a set of blades. You got him in some way. I'd rather parlay. Huh? OG and get cabbage all paid away. Don't play chords and make things the same. You sound so splendid. You bout your business. Arousing my interest. You sharper than a choker. That's how I go, huh? Dang. Know what I'm talking about? Philly. What's up? Stand up. Get it by a boss, and it's no remorse. When I'm blasting on like you've been asking for it. When I step on the plate, your hats is off. Hands up in the air, going back and forth. Yo, I'm ready for a classic massacre. I make it hotter than Shaft in Africa. Come out a black horse with a fast cigar. Roll it unlike me to succeed. My class was full of naysayers, cheaters, and thieves. All they gave me was a good enough reason to leave. Put the writing on the wall for y'all to read it and weep. I'm falls to the Lord to rage of hell. You should head for the hills. Try to save yourself. My man, rip drums like ringing a bell. Kicking around, see them doing singing a bell. Boom! Yeah!
And we're back.
And I haven't even asked you, have you seen Straight Outta Compton?
Not yet.
No judgment, safe space. I'm going to say,
well,
whatever you've been doing this week, you were wrong. You should have at least carved out a couple of hours to see Straight Outta Compton.
Well, I have,
like,
some
at
challenges.
At least one thing you did, you know, called your mom and told her you loved her, kissed your child. Like, you could have cut out a couple of those things to see this movie because it was that good.
I think I actually got into a heated discussion with my mother that week. I did kiss my child, but I will tell you my issues with the movie that I haven't seen yet is that they have a song called A Bitch Is a Bitch. Is that touched upon in the movie? And I love NWA. It's like part of like defining who, what I like and how I observe the world, I think. A common saying in my house is always fuck the police. Like I say it often.
I've been almost carded too many times to count.
Yeah.
We've talked multiple times about my ability to pull a Leon, slip back into the shadows and bounce.
Sure. Yeah.
However.
Anyway.
My feelings about the police as a woman with short hair who constantly goes from dressing like a real girl to dressing like a boy from Scarborough. I understand when to lower your eyes, say yes or no, sir, and bust the fuck out of there.
Okay. That's another topic, but I hear you. I fully understand.
The first time the police followed me home and I realized it wasn't to keep me safe. It was because they thought I was a boy and they were waiting for me to do something like change lanes without signaling, do anything.
They followed me all the
way to my house.
Yep.
They clearly looked up the license plates and looked up the reason to interact with me. I drove at the speed limit, 10 and 2, was stone cold sober.
Yep.
Scarborough at night. It was only night because I closed the store at the mall that I worked at. Scarborough Town, what's up? Thrifties.
Then my other concern or issue was that even when I was young and listening to NWA, I heard the story. I didn't know if it was Dr. Dre. I thought it was Eazy-E, of him beating up a journalist, like beating the crap out of a
D Brown.
Yeah.
Which, fun fact, did you know F. Gary Gray actually worked on that show that D Brown was on? Okay. So even more questionable that wasn't included in the film.
And not as to be included or not. I'm just like strong elements of like misogynistic, and I'm not like waving some girl power flag, but it's just like these guys were like, I remember a teacher like not catching me, but saw that I had the audio tape, and then they're like, you shouldn't be listening to this.
It was back when the explicit tag meant something.
Yeah, it was like 88, 88, 89. Yeah,
explicit tag back then meant, it meant things. It meant that.
It meant things. Like
adults were scared.
Yeah, you're going down the wrong
path. Regardless of color, like my mother, like I think when that whole stuff was coming out, even more than usual, started to use the language of don't hang out with those people. Mm. And I was like,
I've heard that other from teachers.
Black people? Yeah. But no, this is my black Jamaican mother that was born in Jamaica telling me not to hang out with those people.
Yeah.
Just because of all of the media mishigas around.
Sure. But that's when
rap
people still believed in the media.
Whatever.
Like people thought what the media said was the truth.
Yeah.
But it's not.
I'm looking at you, CNN. Really? Really? You're going to talk about a movie with like no shootings as like it's news? I'm disappointed. You have James Earl motherfucking Jones saying, this is CNN. If Darth Vader's voice is what you use, you should have a second thought before you do things like that. I'm so angry right now.
You have every right to be angry. It becoming a news story is kind of interesting in itself.
That like no one got shot the opening weekend when they made twice what the movie cost to make.
Yeah, can't wait for the sequel.
Tupac and Biggie.
Of course I will see the movie. I will see it. Of course I will.
I feel like the sequel instead, everyone's talking about a Tupac or the Snoop Dogg or whatever sequel.
Oh, yeah. West
I feel
Side,
like
yeah,
the best
Death
title.
Row, Death Row Records, all that stuff.
The best title for the sequel would be the movie from the female perspective, using the title from the Black Guy Who Tips podcast this week, Beatings by Dre.
It's just like, how do you glaze? Like,
and it's just like the whole, like the same exact movie from the female perspective, from Dre's mom, which they basically just had her at the beginning of the movie to be the angry black mother saying, this isn't going to amount to anything.
Yeah.
Just so you can,
shut
in the audience, you're thinking, you're wrong.
Well, it's this like heated discussion I've had with other people where it's like creative people, not even creative people, like business people, and they do these like, sort of like disgusting, reprehensible things, but they get away with it because they're men or whatever the circumstances may be. But it's like, it taint, like when I look back in perspective, I'm just like, I was a kid and I didn't know, but now I'm just like, well, I'm not even comfortable like talking about it with some people. I'm just like, I don't really support that hubbub that these guys are about, what they're about. Like now it's a, you know, it's like, get to whitewash everything because it's like, oh, I'm rich enough and I'm a businessman and I'm successful. So therefore I'm absolved of all the like evil things that I've done in the past. And I put out a press release that says, I'm sorry. And that sort of like absolves me of any wrongdoing. And it's just like, if I do
rule the world,
if I did the things that I'm just like, do not forgive me. I think I'd be spending like at least 65%. Because if I was busy as Dre, I'd be carving out a lot of time of like righting wrongs, of just like donating a lot of money to women's shelters, like going, talking to inner city, I don't know, talking to schools and be like, yo, be respectful to people and like women and men, like all the stuff. That's the stuff. So I didn't see the movie, but from what I've heard, this stuff just gets glazed over. Like it's not even.
Oh, absolutely. Women barely have a voice. I don't think this movie could actually pass the Bechdel test. I don't know if two named female characters ever have a conversation with each other that's not about men, which is the Bechdel test. I don't even know if you see a couple of their, you know, steady wives or girlfriends, but only a couple of them. The only one who actually is named multiple times is Easy's widow, and that's because she was the third producer.
Yeah.
So Cube's wife and Dre's like girlfriend who baby was like the only like non-hoochie. I don't even remember their names from watching that. Although the one who played Q's wife, she's going to be Storm in the new X-Men. Super cute. The point. The point is, I agree with you on the woman stuff. However, there's many films, and I watch a lot of films, obviously, that I might disagree with, you know, an omission or a portrayal, either for accuracy or from a perspective or empathizing with some other that's excluded or not mentioned. But I could still say, as a piece of filmmaking, as somebody who's watched a shit ton of movies in their life, it was great. As music biopic,
yeah,
the fact that they had the founding members of all of these actual groups involved in it meant that they had the rights.
Yeah.
So I've watched other music movies where they don't actually have the real music in there.
Yeah, yeah.
This had the actual
songs.
Music.
That's cool. That's really
it was
cool.
Wall-to-wall music.
Cool.
It was longer than we realized. I went with Mel, and at the end, she was checking the time, and we did not notice that. Like, we knew it was long, but we didn't even notice the time passing. It was like fully entertaining.
That's cool.
You know, well shot, well directed. Like there was not a single bad performance. Paul Giamatti, like, I feel bad.
Manager.
Just, listen, if anyone could actually win a supporting Oscar for this, he might, which would again just make Black Twitter angry. But he actually took the role of the like sketchy manager who takes your money and made it a character that was someone you kind of empathized with.
Oh, really? Interesting.
His performance was so strong.
Oh, wow. That's cool. No,
that you understood.
I will see it. I will.
Listen, you've worked for people who weren't bad at their core emotionally, but maybe were just like shitty with money.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe just kept betting on, oh, well, we'll do another album and I'll make this money back and the boys will never have to know that. You know, bad deals, bad investments, like didn't quite get all the right stuff signed, whatever. And on the flip side, you also understand.
We should have said spoiler alert before this.
Spoiler alert. Well.
No, it's fine.
You know, they were all in a group together. You know what happened.
Yeah,
you
everyone knows the story.
You understand that Ice Cube is going to be in Ride Along too, and that Dre sells headphones now. So you understand at some point they stop being in this rap group together.
Yeah.
So,
and one of them dies of AIDS, and that's not the ones that you care about.
Yeah.
No, let's go. I will see it, and you recommend it, but and of course I should give it more lenience of like, oh, it's a Hollywood movie. What? Of course they're going to glaze
saying,
over.
It,
they're going to glaze
look
over.
Look at it
a lot
as a
things.
Music biopic.
Yeah.
And just watch it like that. I'm not going to say it's the best. Listen. Honestly, Mad Max Fury Road is still the best movie I've seen in 2015. Like
that's a movie
without
that's
even
a,
stopping to think about it.
That's a Hollywood epic. That's an epic.
But
this one's grounded in reality. Like,
and you know, that one was much more woman friendly.
Sure. Yes.
That one was so woman friendly that the Meninists were mad at it. That was a tough weekend at the box office for Meninists. It was
Meninists
Mad Max
thing.
And Pitch Perfect 2, like taking all the dollars. It was a tough, tough month there for the Meninists.
Whatever. There's no need to repeat that word because it's not a real thing. I don't want to give it power even. Like
for like a misogynist movie about a culture that's at its core, unfortunately, misogynist.
Yes.
I'll give you a couple of weeks in August, which is, you know, historically, financially, one of the worst months for revenue for
film
movies
openings
throughout the year. I mean, last year with Guardians of the Galaxy, it was an anomaly. But historically, February and August are both like not big money making months. You're not going to release your big tent poles then.
Yep.
So
I'm surprised they didn't push it to TIFF, like, because it sort of fits.
I know. I would have loved to see a Q&A with O'Shea Jackson Sr. and Jr.
Sure.
And on stage.
Dre and Ice Cube coming to
That would have been a great
Toronto.
Festival film, but hey, they made the right choice. They made $60 million already.
Yeah.
Well,
second
no
weekend,
more than
second
that.
Second weekend, it's still number one.
Like, yeah, they're going to like break 100. And for a movie that costs 30 to make, I mean, can those two guys not make money? If
it's
anything,
weird,
like, the only thing they're going to realize now is like all of these intervening years, they were working separately and making, you know.
Well, they tried before Beats by
piles of money. I think if they combine their powers together, they could make Scrooge McDuck piles of money.
They tried to do an NWA album with Snoop. I'm not sure if you ever caught that one, or they did a tour and Snoop was doing Eazy-E's role, but it wasn't very good. Like Snoop's flow is way different than Eazy-E, and like
I'm trying to remember.
It's
you know
was
there
such
was
a
that
different
like
time,
you know
too.
There was that YouTube outtake of Ice Cube on Jimmy Fallon, and in the commercial break he did Straight Outta Compton with
yes,
the Roots.
Yes, yeah, yeah. That you can
who
find
was,
that somewhere.
Who was the one who did Eazy-E's part from
the guitarist?
Yeah,
yeah, the guitarist.
He
could do it.
Had more like not. I mean, Eazy's flow was, but in terms of like the rhythm feeling more like what I remember it feeling like.
Yeah.
He actually did a better job.
Oh, for sure. For sure.
Yeah.
It's like driving. Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's not on YouTube. I don't know, like one of the other.
No,
videos.
It keeps getting pulled off because it wasn't, it was
copyright.
Recorded on someone's phone
cell
or something.
Phone, yeah,
it wasn't
audience.
One of the like official Jimmy Fallon ones.
No, never
that was like a commercial break, never meant to be recorded.
Yeah.
And it was probably more because of Ruthless Records and the music rights to like have that up that it didn't get. I'm sure it's on film. Like, I'm sure it's on film, but they just can't put it on the YouTube channel because the rights to put that up would be a whole thing because, well, when you see the movie, especially, you'll know. But just, like, watching Cube just slip into it like an old pair of shoes.
Oh, yeah.
And he's wearing, like, black hoodie and you're just...
LA Raiders.
You realize, he... writes movies and is
stars
in like family friendly
family.
Films. And but he also wrote Friday.
Yeah.
He
that'd
F.
Be
Gary
more.
Gray directed Law Abiding Citizen. Like, yes, he directed Straight Outta Compton, which is amazing, but Law Abiding Citizen was possibly one of the craziest revenge flicks I've seen that wasn't made out in Korea.
Okay. Like, I haven't seen it.
Okay, so it's Gerard Butler and Jamie Foxx.
Yeah.
I mean, it did but it was, that's a movie that sticks with you.
Okay.
And I will say, I really, really, really enjoyed it. And just watching it, it wasn't level of like Inside Man for Spike Lee, but it's, you know, kind of a parallel in that you are not watching this movie thinking, oh, it's a black director. You're just watching this movie thinking, oh my God, this is crazy. This guy's like straight up vengeance personified. Like when you watch like a real... violent, mostly stuff that would be in the Vanguard program from Asia film, like I Saw the Devil.
Yep.
In terms of you rooting for a completely not redeemable main character that like has a bad thing happen to him or his family and turns into basically somebody equally as morally bankrupt as the person or people he's trying to punish.
Yeah, yeah.
Like comeuppance comes with like the selling of your soul.
Yeah, yeah, for sure.
And that movie, it still sticks with me. And it's like, this is a guy who directed Good Day video. This is this is a guy.
Which was an anniversary, like a couple of.
Yeah, when they had the whole Kickstarter for the Goodyear blimp thing that happened.
It's funny. It's just funny. I never knew it was that much of a hit. I knew it was a good song.
I think it, you know, it's the cult classic, right? Yeah. It's the Wet Hot American Summer rap songs.
For sure. That's a great place. We'll take a break. I guess we'll play some hip hop and we'll come back. And I want to talk more TIFF. It was a good day.
Just waking up in the morning, gotta thank God. I don't know, but today seems kinda odd. No barking from the dog, no smog. And mama cooked the breakfast with no hog. I got my grub on, but didn't pig out. Finally got a call from a girl I wanna dig out. Hooked it up, but later as I hit the dough, thinking will I live another 24? I gotta go, cause I got me a drop top. And if I hit the switch, I can make the ass drop. Had to stop at a red light, looking in my mirror, not a jacker in sight. And everything is alright. I got a beat from Kim, and she could do it all night. Called up the homies and I'm asking y'all, which part are y'all playing basketball? Get me on the court and I'm trouble. Last week messed around and got a triple-double. Freaking brothers every way like MJ. I can't believe today was a good day. To the pad and hit the showers. Didn't even get no static from the cowards. Cause just yesterday, them fools tried to blast me. Saw the police and they rolled right past me. No flexing, didn't even look in a brother's direction as I ran the intersection. Went to show dog's house, they was watching yo MTV raps. What's the haps on the craps? Shake em up, shake em up, shake em up, shake em. Roll em in a circle of homies and watch me break em with a 7. 7-Eleven, 7-Eleven, 7 even back door, Lil Joe. I picked up the cash flow. Then we played Bones, and I'm yelling Domino. Plus nobody I know got killed in South Central LA. Today was a good day. Left my homie's house paid. Word. Picked up a girl, been trying to dig since the 12th grade. It's ironic, I had the boo, she had the chronic. The Lakers beat the Supersonics. Felt on the big fat fanny, pulled out the jammy and killed man. And my enemy runs deep, so deep, so deep, put her butt to sleep. Woke her up around 1, she didn't hesitate to call Ice Cube the Top Gun. Drove her to the pad and I'm coasting. Took another sip of the potion, hit the 3-wheel motion. I was glad everything had worked out. Dropped the burnt up and then chirped out. Today was like one of those fried dreams. Didn't even see a berry flashing those high beams. No helicopter looking for the murder. 2 in the morning, got the fat burger. Even saw the lights of the Goodyear blimp, and it read Ice Cube. Drunk as hell, but no throwing up. Halfway home, and my page is still blowing up. Today I didn't even have to use my AK. I gotta say it was a good day.
And we're back. So TIFF today.
The full schedule came out.
Yeah, the full schedule came out. Front page news. It's like a huge, you're holding like a, I'd say like the Brampton White Pages. No, I don't know. It's a thick book. I'm gonna
just
do
just because it has like the splash of powder. Yeah, that's racist. Like,
oh, I didn't even see it. See, I don't have my glasses on.
Yeah, that's
on.
Like isn't don't brown see, people that. Do that during like the Diwali festival?
Diwali festival.
Yeah,
it's actually
you were super racist just now.
It's fine. I just
he's brown. Everyone. It's
I was
okay.
just calling the thickness.
Not okay.
The thickness of the thing.
Yeah,
that's all. It's
oh,
like,
so you say
like
brown
pages?
People are thick? I thought it was black people. That's me being racist, everyone.
I'm just saying that they still print these like books of like phone numbers, and it's like
this is all online. But I buy the book every year. Two reasons: one, when I first pick up the book, I crack that spine and just put my nose right in there.
Yep. I think a lot of people do that.
Yeah, and a girl caught me doing it at Metro Hall today by the box office, and she looked me dead in the eye and was like, "That's the first thing I do too." Yeah.
It's no, there used to be like oil in some inks in printing, I don't know how many years ago. And so there would be like a high off of the color ink. Now they use all, I think, vegetable-based colored inks. But like that oil stuff, you could get a buzz off some of the pictures.
Maybe Michelle Mayhew is going to be our Jimmy Fallon. She's like on the front page now. In between Piers
dun, dun,
and Cameron.
Dun, dun. Was she at the thing? Was she at the
she
event?
Was there.
Okay. Interesting.
She might be older than Cameron. She might be younger than Cameron. Black don't crack. She looks older than him, but hell, I look older than Cameron.
So getting this book, you feel more empowered of your selections, but you had to make some selections already, right?
Well,
so
no, I haven't actually submitted my selections yet.
Okay, but you were saying I'm going to see X amount of films.
Well, I have to decide the amount of money I'm going to give them before this even comes out. I have to decide, am I going to take the full week off? Am I just going to see movies at night? Am I just going to see movies in the day? Am I just going to see movies in the last half of the week, aka the back half pack? So you decide before the festival starts if you're going to buy a package and not single tickets as the festival's starting, how many movies you're going to see. And I'm like saying minimum 30. I'm still mentally thinking, wouldn't it be nice for the 40th anniversary to do 40? But
yeah,
honestly,
it's a lot of movies. No, you can do it.
I'm old.
You're not that old.
I'm going to be 1 year old. I'm going to be 1 year older than the festival.
Yeah.
Like the festival's turning 40. I'm 41.
It's fine. Empowering.
Because I feel like your people always try to hide your age.
Yes, we do.
And black people are just happy that we've lived this long. So
I'm stealing that joke. I'm gonna use that on my deaf comedy jam.
Feel free. Yeah, no, that one's for you. Take it. Except if that becomes like the linchpin in your bit that gets you on Last Comic Standing,
yeah.
I want to wet my beak.
It's like,
so,
and it's a big controversy. He didn't even write that joke.
So the book is big. I actually, friends of friends know somebody who works in the media, and what he does every year, he takes the book the day it's out to like a printer. They rip off the cover. They take out all the ads for him, and then they rebind it. So it's like a quarter of the size.
Wait, what? Who does this? What?
I think, don't quote me on this, it might be Peter Howell.
Oh, okay.
But like he takes this whole operation, like gets the covers ripped off, takes out all of the ad pages.
He has an assistant that does this
like
for
somebody,
him. Yeah, someone does
but
this
I think
him.
The first year that he thought of it, because I think the first year he did it, he maybe did it himself, like ripped it apart and like made it like a quarter of the size so that he could have it in press screenings and it would be much more efficient to flip through.
Yeah. Is there?
And part of me kind of wants to do that next year. I kind of want to buy two. So I keep one pristine and then do that with the second
one. Is there a PDF that's downloadable?
I don't know if there's a PDF, but the whole operation, it's online. But I like having the book. And also because I do the posted flags every year, a lot of these movies end up on Netflix. Like even if they don't get major distribution, I can like remember like, hey, this looks familiar. And I can flip through and see everything from The Precy, which is a beautifully written summary. Even shitty movies sound good because they have professional technical and corporate communicators and copywriters writing this shit, and it's edited by the programmers before it gets in there. But also, you have your pertinent information like country of origin, the language of the movie. Was it a premiere at the festival? Production company? Other distribution details, screenplay, like writer, cinematographer, editor, production designer, sound, music, principal cast. So like any of like the main big actors that are in there. and any other information. If the movie doesn't have distribution, sometimes they even have contact info if you wanted to actually email a sales agent. So for a lot of the movies that don't have major distribution or international distribution yet, it's great information if you want to break into the film industry.
Very
but
cool.
It's also just good to know, like, oh, I really like Boy A that was at the festival years and years ago when it was Andrew Garfield's, like, you know, first major movie that was at the festivals, long before Social Network, long before Spider-Man. And then this year, there's a movie from the same director. Because one of the things I love in the director section, they always give you random pertinent details about every director. Like, I'm going to flip to a random page.
This director likes iced lattes.
Like, no. Long walks. I mean, okay, Ben...
No, it doesn't say
okay,
that.
Ben Wheatley, if you know his name, just from me saying it, I don't need to explain it. But here's a page where, oh, here's like a handsome man with beautiful cheekbones leaning against a wall. Oh, it's Tom Hiddleston. It's motherfucking Loki, all blonde and ginger. And I think back to listening to interviews with him and Chris Hemsworth when... Think of Chris Hemsworth at the beginning of Star Trek in 2009 and how Tom Hiddleston looks here, and you understand how both of these guys went up for Thor. Because physically, at that point in time, they looked the same, and one bulked up, and the other one became
faster.
This, like, beautiful, occasionally in a vampire movie with Tilda Swinton guy. So, Ben Wheatley... If you don't know him, let's read about him. Because you get as much information about the director almost as you get about the film. Was born in Essex, England. He directed web shorts and television before transitioning to cinema with his feature directorial debut, Down Terrence, 09. His features, Kill List, 11, Sightseers, 12, and A Field in England, 13, all played at the festival. High Rise, 15, is his latest film. It's just, like, good info.
No, it well, from what I remember the film festival, it is actual films, but I feel it's just got so part of the publicity machine. But it's good to see and hear, like, your perspective that they still, like, you know, they do want to put a spotlight on films that you would never hear or see generally.
So one of the movies I'm most excited about is a movie called Legend, directed by Brian Helgeland. One of the reasons I'm excited is this movie stars one Tom Hardy playing twins. And...
Oh, the British crime brothers. Yeah, yeah.
And that, yeah. The other reason I'm excited that it's got Tom Hardy playing two people is that for once... They're not covering his beautiful motherfucking mouth with a mask. Bane,
oh, yeah.
The first act of Mad Max.
Mad Max, yeah.
You take the man with one of the, like, most luscious
strong
lips.
Strong jawline.
Everything. Like, everything nose down on this guy is pure magic. Even his crooked motherfucking teeth. And you cover it up with a mask in not one but two movies? You kill him. You're actually killing me. So this movie has... Full mouth, Tom Hardy, times two. Brian Helgeland, you're doing it right. I'm going to tweet that later. Remind me. I'm
okay.
Drunk.
It's okay.
And then, so let's read his director, Precy. It's a little bit longer than some of the others. Let's see what he's done. Was born in Providence, Rhode Island, attended Loyola Marymount University and the University of Massachusetts, Dartmouth. I love that I know this about this director now. I don't need to know this to pick this movie. All I need to see is Tom Hardy's mouth. But reading on. He won an Academy Award for a screenplay for L.A. Confidential. Motherfucker, that's a good movie.
That's a great movie.
I'm doubling down.
Yeah.
Let's get me to triple down, which played at the festival. His other writing credits include such films as Mystic River,
yep.
Man on Fire, Green Zone, and Robin Hood. Yeah. Okay, that last one. His films as director are Payback, A Knight's Tale. Listen.
Was it Shannon Sossaman?
Yes.
Can do no
your girl.
Wrong. Can
your
do
girl.
No wrong in my books.
That movie for your girl and my boy, may he rest in peace.
What are having her? Where's the love of my life?
But that was...
Where is she?
I loved her gear in that movie, too. Like, her outfits. It was perfect.
Yeah.
Anyway. So he directed that. And The Order.
It's a hard movie to watch Legend. Again. It's okay.
Is it a hard movie to watch again just because you love her so much, or we all miss Heath Ledger so much?
That 90 craft of filmmaking where it's like everything's cut to like music, the hits that you like every edit is on the beats, that stuff.
Who's the guy who plays Hype Man again? I forget, but he's the guy who was the voice of Jarvis and now he's Vision in the Marvel Universe. Yeah, yeah. Paul Bettany. And the guy who plays Wash in Serenity was one of the other guys in the crew.
Oh.
He was like the ginger guy.
To go back and watch it.
He had like...
When I'm old, I'm going to start the
friend of the main guy on Suburgatory. I'm going to name everything this guy's done and not remember his name off the top of my head right now.
When I'm old and I have
a leaf on the wind. Watch
I have too much,
store.
Too much money. I'm going to start the Shannon Sossaman. I don't even know if I'm...
Alan Tudyk. Alan Tudyk's also in it.
The Shannon...
Knight's Tale is full of people I love. It's Robert fucking Baratheon is one of the other guys in the crew in that movie. He had the best entourage next to Vinny fucking Chase.
I'm going to start a Shannon Sossaman film festival when I have too much money.
Was it 40 Days and 40 Nights? Was that the masturbation?
All our movies are terrible. They're all terrible.
But
well, they're not good.
She is...
They just never found the proper vehicle for her.
As Tyra would say, besides in some of the earlier seasons, I haven't watched any of the later seasons of Top Model, she pulls focus, and that's her job.
Yeah.
She could be in a terrible movie, and I don't even notice because I'm just watching her and thinking, there's something beyond Manic Pixie Dream Girl, and then after that, there's you. Because she's just...
She was precursor to that, but she wasn't... anyway, we don't have to... The 90s were a long time ago now, but we don't have to go back to that well. Although I claim it as the greatest time and greatest...
The greatest generation. The real greatest generation. Because there wasn't so much institutional racism and other weird stuff.
There was, but...
Sorry, Tom Brokaw. Great book. You know, who doesn't love a coffee table book?
Let's take a break, and we'll come back. We got to wrap it up soon, P.
Yep, and next week I'll be telling everyone whether I got my picks or not.
Okay. We'll be back.
Remember every word, every thing is in its place. Take a place if you found a place.
And we're back, just wrapping up another episode of Hooray for Everything, the festive special. Am I saying that right, P?
Yeah. So yeah. Next week, all y'all can hear about my picks.
Yeah.
Fun fact, since we went from a full analog process with the festival where you would actually highlight and fill in like it was some sort of scanner code standardized testing thing.
Oh, I thought
to like make your selections.
I thought third world country like election.
No, but almost. And like drop off your things in an envelope in a box, which stopped, you know, 3-4 years ago. Now it's online. However, because the festival has still not managed to update either their front end or their back end or their infrastructure to handle the peaky traffic they get at this time
of
year.
Huge peak in traffic, yeah.
Their workaround is having timed windows for each level of member or non-member.
Online.
Online. So, if you are super rich, you start first. And then, but even within that section,
certain
there's
times.
Like a randomizer for, if you've all given the same amount of money, there's a randomizer for you start at 9 a.m. and you start at 10 a.m. and you start whatever. And you can enter your order anytime after that start time. But your earliest possible time to enter your selections is then. Wait for it. So this year.
Shaking my head this whole time.
My window is.
3 a.m. I'm waiting.
Sorry. 2 p.m. on Sunday. Which would be okay, except that's my birthday. And my old university roommate from BC is coming to visit me. And we have tickets for the Jays game on Sunday. Baseball games start at 1 on weekends, friends. So I have to decide to either blow off my birthday baseball game outing or miss my window, which is the earliest possible start time for people at my membership level. I chose the festival, motherfuckers. I already texted her and said, listen, it's great that you got more than two tickets because you can go with my dad to the Jays game. I'm going to go to work. Because it's close to the dome.
Yeah, that's what I was,
But considering my start time is like an hour after the game has started, I'll be lucky if I get there before they stop serving beer. Because they stop serving beer, I think it's around 7th or 8th inning.
Yeah. I think 7th inning.
Yeah, so I'm going to have to almost Uber to the dome if I'm at one of the far gates. Like, I don't know where our seats are. And try to get in so I can get at least one beer.
Chug it.
Before the game's over. And she's coming to, like, visit me for my birthday.
Yeah, sure.
She's staying over with me.
But, like, what if that time doesn't work for people, right? Like, can't you...
You can enter your orders anytime after that time.
Yeah, but then...
The window they give you is the earliest possible time.
Yeah, I'm calling baloney on that. I need a button. That's just like, that's...
Yeah, listen, in the random box days, 1 year of all the years... I was in the first box they drew. Box 48, I think it was. I don't remember. Don't quote me on it. Go back in the blog and check. And I'd never been so happy. I was running around town screaming my box number at people. They probably thought it was some weird, like, lesbian thing.
While you're sharing this story of signing up for tickets, here is an idea for all the .com startup companies. It's like, create the proper solution. Or, Tiff, buy, like, go to a company that has server, like your server can be hit at any point, and like this is not, that's not good. Like this setup is not good. You should be able to log in at 9 a.m.
Or the sponsorship team could go out and try to work with like a Q9 or a Beanfield or whatever. Because you have your lead sponsor, Bell. You have your main sponsors, your L'Oreal, your RBC. Your whatever, you have your city sponsor, you have your province of Ontario, you have your Telefilm Canada, you have your city of Toronto. How about we get a Q9 up in this piece?
Sure.
And then you get the back-end infrastructure. Because it's really, it's the traffic. Whatever they do in the front end, it's one of those sites where like 99% of the year, you could probably handle that traffic on, you know, your random Shopify, no extra juice domain.
Mm-hmm.
But for 3 weeks of the year, you have more than peak traffic and a lot of images and whatever rich content. And
refreshing,
then for like 3 days, and then every day at 7 a.m. when people are trying to get same day tickets, you have your traffic an order of magnitude higher than it would normally be.
Yes.
And how do you handle that? Think the best way would be, don't try to pay for it. Make one of your sponsors or two of your sponsors be like front end and back end for your site, and then that's their job.
They would be hailed as a hero, like if they gave like free advertising.
If you guys could figure this out in a better way than the timed windows and the waiting room. The
window thing is ridiculous.
Or even once I make my selections, can I just preload them, save, and then they are submitted when my window starts?
That's a better.
Even that is a better workaround. So I could do it like Friday night, and then I could go to the ball game. And I'm sitting at the ball game, and I get my email. I find out what I got or not, because I'm not going to change my choices.
Yeah, browsers work in Windows, not the internet. Like, the internet should not be allocated to it. You accessing a website should not be allocated to a window of time. Like, it should be like, I should be able to log in at, here's the start date, 9 a.m., boom, go for it. That's
like,
it.
What is this, GeoCities, bitch?
Yeah, it's weird.
If I won the lottery.
This is really weird.
No joke. And I hope I win the lottery tomorrow so that I could actually do this and someone can call me on it. I would do everything from product management to project management to QA for the film festival for, I'm not going to say 100% free. I would like unlimited free food and drink at Luma and Canteen and access to all of the event spaces.
Sure, yeah. That's a fair deal.
For the duration of the project plus 10 years after.
Yep.
I would just help you make a better web or, you know, series of web solutions. I would do it of my own.
I'll give you a list of solutions on a napkin. There, that would be better.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's very interesting.
So anyway, I basically have to say screw it to my friend who's flown here to see me. Screw it to the Blue Jays, who are doing awesome right now.
Yeah, tickets are going
for
crazy.
Screw it to my birthday, because that's what my window is for doing my tickets. And you know what? Hashtag no regrets. The festival is the one thing that for 1 week every year, I don't think about beef, drama, work stuff, the fact that I'm getting older.
We're all getting older.
The fact that, you know, from the day you're born, we're one day closer to the day you're back underground. For 1 week of the year, all I think about is the stories that are told in front of me, and I managed to lose myself. Hashtag mom spaghetti. And I love it.
No,
so
it's a great thing.
The prep is onerous and painful and annoying and is prone to error and stress as it is. I don't care.
I hear you, P. It is very interesting how much to actually have the festival you want, there's a lot of pre-actions involved. But I don't know. We'll leave it at that. I'm psyched to hear your picks next week, how the window operation goes, how the Jays win. They'll win it this weekend. But that's going to wrap up another episode of Hooray for Everything, our festive special. We've been good. We've been getting them up weekly. I don't know. Our Twitter following and Facebook likes have not increased, but our episodes have increased, which is, I don't know if it's good or bad. I don't know much about computers.
We've been getting more downloads.
We have. Oh, okay. Yeah.
Or listens, whatever. I'll show you the listens. Analytics.
Or meow meow beans. I don't know. That's an inside community reference there. But we'll be back again next week. New episode every week. Check us out. Hooray for Everything Radio on Facebook. Hooray for Everything Radio on Twitter. In a TIFF, that's where new episodes appear first. And also,
I feel like we were funnier last week with Bulls.
Easy. We're funny all the time. That's it for us. Listen next week, guys. Thanks for listening.
The Festive Special.